Hello, everyone. This is Luc Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thank you for joining us today. We have a treat in store for you guys. Our guest is Will Fang, and Will is at the intersection of technology and sales for a decade, covering financial services, okay, for digital transformation and digital workplace. You know, he works for a firm called Sinequa. So he is someone who has an extensive educational background. He's attended institutions like Yale, Cornell, and Columbia Business School, and he's worked for firms like IBM as well. And he also has 6 years of admission prep coaching experience in competitive college admissions. He is someone who has an immense deep passion for helping families and helping folks to reach their dreams. And he is very, very, very passionate about education. When I met him through networking, I could feel the passion in his voice when it came to this subject. And he has several sites and initiatives to help folks. One of them is edgeprep.com, and another is weadmitprep.com. So he is a very busy man, so we're very fortunate to have him here. And, you know, we are very blessed. He was able to carve out some time in his packed schedule to sit down and have a chat with us. So thank you so much, Will, for coming on board as a guest. And I'm curious, what is your background and what first gravitated you towards what you do today?
Well, Luc, thank you so much for having me. It's pleased to be on the Deep Men Voice podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, so great question about my background that gravitated to my current sort of endeavors. I would say that, you know, my current sort of who I am was a function of, you know, many mentors and many teachers that kind of shaped me who I am today.
Okay.
So I can think of, you know, my original, I would say, in the elementary time, I met many teachers who were just having very high expectation and setting, you
right,
know, sort of standards. And,
right,
and from there, I would say that it kind of set me on trajectory for sort of, you know, goals and milestones.
Yeah.
So, but then if you fast forward, I would say that I found that, you know, it's very sort of rewarding to help people in general.
Mm.
I still remember my early days where one of my peer did not speak German. However, I knew there's a way to work in Germany.
Right.
And this was a peer that's 1 year younger than me in college. And I encouraged her to say, you know, don't worry about the language because Europe is such a multilingual environment.
Right.
As long as you can get outside of your comfort zone, you can do it. Because
right.
I actually did an assignment just before she did. And I kind
wow.
of relayed my experience. And all of a sudden, I put someone who spoke zero German on a
right.
plane to Stuttgart, Germany, and they did
wow.
their internship. So I just think that it's very magical that sometimes you just give someone a little bit of inspiration and some
yeah.
ideas, and suddenly pieces just come together.
Right, right. That's amazing. And, you know, that you were able to give your friend the kind of push and the encouragement that they needed to further their career, to go to Germany for an internship. And, you know, they say that when you leave your comfort zone, that's when the magic happens,
exactly.
you know, so to speak, that you get to, you know, accomplish your goals. And obviously there's always that element of fear that you have to overcome and whatnot. But they say success is on the other side of fear. So it's something that,
exactly.
you know, yeah, you find this with so many stories of people who've accomplished major goals, successful folks and whatnot. and they had to take that leap of faith and get out of their comfort zone and whatnot. And it's interesting how you had mentors and teachers who set high standards for you.
Yes.
And that's incredible. It's so important for teachers to set high standards for students and just high standards in general. I think are so important and to set big goals. Yes.
And I want to add that, I think every child, especially growing up, it's like an original movie or a song, right? They all have their unique sort of character, their sort of signature, and their sort of little voice. And as an educator, as a mentor, I find it's just a matter of taking the time to listen, to understand that inner voice, and you nurture that, you provide the right resources, all of a sudden that person can become, an incredible story, almost like a Hollywood production, right? But just that a lot of folks just don't have maybe the resource, not the right time, but not the right place, and they get overlooked, and then they lost the opportunity. So I really feel that a lot of people, as many people as they, I want to impact to give them the opportunity to shine and to find their true calling, their passion.
Yeah, that's so important. I believe that as well, that everyone has certain talents and gifts. And as children, obviously, as children, they're trying to figure themselves out, particularly as they're coming of age and say, make that transition from being a child to an adult to figure out what they want to do with their life. And teachers play a critical role in that. That's so important. It's so important for them to listen to that inner voice of a child, to see what those gifts are, to see what they really, really excel at. It's interesting you said that every child is like has like a song or a movie or whatnot. And I definitely see what you mean. And, it's interesting. You could feel the passion in your voice. Obviously for you, you said it's rewarding for you to help others, and I can definitely see that. For you, it brings you a sense of personal fulfillment when you assist others and you educate others, and that's amazing. And I think that's your kind of true calling, is to teach and to educate others. And you've definitely found that. Mark Twain once said that there's two important days in a person's life. The first is their birthday, the day they were born, and the other day is when they figure out why. And you certainly have both days down. So thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, how would you describe the current state of education right now? And particularly, what challenges has the pandemic posed and whatnot?
Yeah. We are living through the 2020-2021 version of the Spanish flu. We're living through history and unprecedented times. It's very unfortunate. However, I think as a nation, we're very resilient as vaccination gets, rolled out. We are transitioned into sort of back to the normalcy stage. But as far as education is concerned, I think we are getting used to that remote learning as part of the standard. Definitely, if you think about the college admission, which is standardized tests are becoming optional. And it's very stressful to go into an SAT or ACT exam environment, put a mask on, and write that exam. It's very, very stressful. In addition, families are thinking about how do I stand out now, the fact that I cannot be out and about doing my sort of sports, arts, music, and leadership skills. So folks have to be a little bit creative, thinking outside the box on how to showcase their talent and their leadership. College applications remain to be competitive, increasingly kind of competitive. If you look at schools across the board, the application has increased, 50, 100% in some selected colleges. It is a very, turbulent time for education for general. and just looking for the younger folks, like, you know, elementary, middle school.
All right.
I think social aspect is very important on the learning experience. However, that's all missing. They're all learning from Google Classroom or maybe, you know, Zoom, you know, all that screen time. I mean, that's the only way to learn these days, unfortunately.
Right, right.
But it's not very healthy. You know, we should have more sort of play dates or maybe sort of social activities. People
right.
learn how to, you know, interact. And,
right.
And it's very sad, I have to say.
Yeah, it's tough. Obviously, remote learning is not, in my opinion, may not be the ideal way to learn, but it's the only way we can really do it. Because obviously,
yeah.
it's important for young people to be around each other for that socialization and whatnot. And, you know, we human beings, we're all social animals. And, you know, so it's, you know, they say the longest lived people, they live long because they have strong social relationships.
Yes.
You know, and as you know, when they've studied the longest lived people. So obviously, you know, it's not ideal, but we have to go through this for a short period of time. This is like the Spanish flu 2.0. And,
yeah.
and you know, and you mentioned before that standardized tests are maybe optional.
Yes.
If I heard you correctly. Okay. So this is
That's
something.
Correct.
So standardized tests, they're something that people can choose not to take. That's right.
Because
okay.
Colleges are become cognizant of this difficult time to book for a standardized test. So they have made them optional. They're purely
okay.
looking on GPAs, looking at your, you know, extracurricular activities, looking at your personal statement, recommendation.
Right.
A different
wow.
sort of way to assess whether you are fit for their school.
Wow. That's amazing. Very surprising to me. Growing up, I took the SAT, and it definitely wasn't optional. So interesting how things change. So I see that they have to, because of the times they're living in, they've made adjustments, which is great. And so I'm curious. Now, obviously, there's going to be a world where the pandemic goes away, if not, you know, all, but mostly goes away. And I'm curious, where do you see things going in the future? And where do you see yourself in that future?
Right. The post-pandemic world is, I think, a very interesting one. We start to realize that productivity efficiency can be achieved through sort of remote learning and, you know, not
yes.
being in the office or a school.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that sort of social aspect is essential
yeah.
because, you know, we're all mammals and we
yes.
love to interact. So
yes.
what I see the future is a hybrid model, and I think will be, you know, optimized, a combination of online learning and offline learning. And how that balance will be shaped out is yet to be determined, depending on the institutions. But for sure, I think that the digital learning experience is going to be part of our social fabric going forward. And as for myself, I would say that digital is definitely part of me, you know, natively being sort of well-versed, as you see, and new innovation coming up, such as Lunch Club and,
right.
you know, other
right.
social media channels on how people interact and
right.
collaborate.
Right.
I do see that there's, you know, software that allows people to gather together. For example, Zoom is kind of like a very formal way to gather, right?
Right.
But there's another tool called Appreciate. PRECIATE.com. It makes
okay.
a very like a social network mingling experience where you're like bumming around, roaming the room, and then you can join conversation and leave conversations.
Wow.
Just for example, you can check it out, appreciate.com. I thought that was quite interesting. We used one of the Yale sort of alumni sort of gatherings. I thought that was quite interesting. But anyhow, I think digital is definitely the future.
Right.
Be comfortable with it. That's
yes.
going to be the
yeah.
sort of your currency to be relevant.
Definitely. And that's amazing. Thank you so much for that. And obviously, I think, you're saying there'll probably be a hybrid or mix of both. This will be sort of like a new normal. It's not going to ever go back to the way it was right before the pandemic. That's over, but there's going to be essentially a new world. And, we're social animals, and nothing will ever take place of in-person meeting and communication. But I think Bill Gates was the one who once said that, you could have high tech, but you still need to have high touch. And so obviously there'll have to be space for both. And it's interesting. You mentioned something before about this new way to a new version of Zoom or another alternative. I'm definitely going to look into that. it's interesting when teachers, I interviewed a teacher who, he said that more and more he doesn't teach in front of a class, but he teaches in front of a camera with a lens, that he's able to reach more people, And so I think that when with this kind of format with digital, educators are able to educate more people than they ever could have dreamed. I guess that's
totally
one positive thing of it,
Right. I just want to add one more thing. When it comes to learning, there's something called synchronous learning and asynchronous learning. So obviously, live interactive will be synchronous learning, but asynchronous learning is equally in play, where there's a pre-recorded sort of lesson,
right?
And there will be some sort of tutorial or sort of office hours where you ask questions, and it's more of on-demand, like Netflix, right? But except for that, you're learning that's on your own schedule.
Wow, that's interesting. So it's sort of like recorded already, and you can just play it whenever you want or when you're ready. I think that's
exactly.
really, really
exactly.
Interesting. I think there's definitely a use for that, of course. I actually like that idea a lot. And thank you so much for that answer. And I'm curious. Now, obviously, you help a lot of folks, particularly students, to get into competitive colleges and whatnot. And obviously there's so many educational programs and educators out there who help students in this regard. I'm curious, what is your competitive advantage? Like what makes you, I guess, different from them or perhaps more effective than all the other alternatives and competition out there?
Great question. My sort of personal growth through these higher ed institutions and 6+ years of practice in college admission prep services, along with a partner of mine, Jay Shaw, we have defined a very proven method to college prep process. I would say, one is a diagnostic, a very granular diagnostic of the student's current state, understanding what your strength and weakness. This is specifically for SAT and ACT. As a student, you want to figure out which test is better fit for you. And once we know which test is better fit for you, we'll understand granularly what are your strength and weakness. Then we can define a personalized study plan so that you can spend most time where it matters and not go over concept you already know. So I think diagnostic, understanding where you're at, is our first differentiation.
Right.
Two, we believe something called near peer tutoring. Part of it is that psychologists have told us when two students are 3 or 4 or 5 years apart, there is a generational sort of resonance because they're so close. The millennials understand the same culture. Maybe they went through the same sort of experiences like Snapchat or maybe some favorite pastime activities. Suddenly you have a concept of if you can do it, I can do it too.
Right,
Not like
right.
mom and dad are saying, hey, go do it. Have you done your homework
Right.
yet? We're trying to have that near peer effect. And
Right.
coupled with a relationship we have with Harvard undergrad, which is
Right.
a very special community, we have some top students in the country, Harvard undergrad, to teach the
Yes.
students on how they've done it as
Wow.
like peers. And suddenly
Right.
there's magic, there's inspiration, there is, you know, a lot of sort of encouragement.
Wow.
And now you start to understand how to do SAT. It's no longer like, you know, this, you know, very stressful or maybe, you know, very complex process, but you have
Right.
someone who's done it and show you sort of the inside ropes.
Wow.
And then the
Wow.
third piece I would say is, you know, just that mindset, right? When I say mindset, you probably have heard something called a growth mindset.
Yes.
These days, you know, our mind can have a fixed mindset or growth mindset.
Yes.
So
Right.
we definitely apply that into the SAT prep. And then related to that point is we apply something called a time boxing method. I don't know if you know that term, but
Right.
basically our great entrepreneur leader, Elon Musk, use
Right.
this particular method to manage
Yes.
his day. And as you know, between SpaceX and Tesla and his family
Yeah.
and a few
Right.
other businesses running, time boxing
Yeah.
has been his most effective way to get things done. And we encourage our high school student to adopt the time boxing method. And there you have it. The combination of those makes us a little bit different from others.
Wonderful. That's great. And that's amazing. So essentially, you guys have the proven method, as you said before. And you start off with the diagnostic. You want to see where people are at, what their strengths and weaknesses, and you build from there, right?
Yeah.
Then you mentioned the near peer method, which inspires students when they see someone like them. Maybe a few years apart, maybe the same generation or the generation right next to theirs who succeeded. And they learn from them and they're inspired from them. And then, of course, you have the growth mindset. I think it was Carol Dweck who
Exactly.
first wrote
Perfect.
about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Growth mindset, you know, so important for kids to understand the idea of a growth mindset and to develop a growth mindset that they can improve and that they're not fixed where they are. And you talked about time boxing method that's used by Elon Musk. This is the first time I've heard of this, so I definitely want to know more about it. You know, Elon Musk is now the second wealthiest person in the world, I hear.
Yes,
after,
that's right. Temporarily, I'm sure that he might be the first any minute now. You know how the
really?
Clock goes. Yeah,
wow.
With Bezos and Musk, those guys are kind of the most wealthiest human being on Earth. I mean, Tesla,
yeah.
I don't know if you follow the stock market, but I
Right.
think it did have a little correction. But I'm sure that the future is on EV, electric vehicles. And
yeah.
I have no doubts that he will become the most wealthiest man again sometime soon.
Wow, that's amazing. And his life story is very interesting, I would say.
Yeah.
And so he's definitely an inspiration. He did start off wealthy. You know, but he used his brain. He definitely had the growth mindset, of course, and of course the time box method, and look where he is today. So it's
exactly
quite an individual, quite a mind, I would say, that he had. So so thank you so much for that. You know, and you know it's interesting. I'm sure that you've been doing this for a while now. You've probably helped many people so far. And I'm curious, can you tell us any of the most moving or entertaining stories from your life or career?
Well, I would say the journey of going to college is a very emotional one because
Right.
It's not smooth sailing. There's
Right.
a lot of sort of twists and turns And oftentimes there's a lot of obstacles.
Right.
They're painful. They're like growing pains.
Right.
So I would say that a story that's kind of moving would be, you know, I would say it was one of my a public school student. She was, I think, you know, a rebel in the family. The
yes.
mom was very
yes.
worried about her. She might mm-hmm. be getting into trouble.
Right.
And
right.
hang out with the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
But, you know, through our sort of coaching and help, she
right.
started to realize that, you know, doing well in school is pretty cool. And
yeah.
actually hanging out with folks like Harvard, Stanford, and Princeton, these kids are pretty smart and very, very intelligent, and also they are doing things that are meaningful in the society. Yet she has entirely changed.
There were
times where moms just said, I cannot believe that my daughter could do well in school. And she was kind of a little bit, you know, just apathetic, not
right.
caring about assignments and so forth. But through
right.
the influence of near peering, we're talking
right.
to Harvard student, Yale student, and
yeah.
also taking some time on Stanford campus and
yeah.
and Harvard campus through summer programs,
yeah.
we entirely changed this individual. And
wow.
she was so motivated to pursue
wow.
Harvard.
Wow.
And next thing you know, she applied early to Harvard, and she got accepted.
Wow.
And
That's
that
amazing.
Was sort of like, you know, first generation who
wow.
went to, you know, American University, and she went to Harvard, and she became sort of, you know, a showcase for the school.
Wow.
And you know, the rest was history. But if you look back, it's just a very sort of, like I said at the beginning, you know, every child is a movie. And if you
yes.
give the nutrition, the attention,
yes.
the support, you
right.
never know how
right.
it will blossom. It will become like, you know, the best thing you can have.
Wow. That's amazing. That's an incredible story. You know, obviously, you know, you talked before about how that whole process for young people leaving high school, going to college, you know, it's not smooth sailing. There's obstacles, and it's tough for all of them, you know, as they're, you know, because they're making that transition from being a young person to an adult. They're coming of age, so to speak. And, you know, you have a lot of young people who like to rebel, like this woman. And I guess it goes back to what you said before about that near peer method. I guess it really worked in this case, or one of the things that
yes.
worked in this situation. And so that's amazing. And you said that she became a showcase for the school, meaning the high
yeah.
school she graduated from. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. She became a showcase. I mean, clearly she put her mind to it, you know, towards the
right.
end.
This
student has some talent. Let me say this, you know, typically you're either a humanity or a STEM person, but she was good
yeah.
at calculus, but she was also good
right.
at philosophy and
okay.
literature. And she was reading
right.
in French, German, and English, and Japanese.
Oh, my God, wow.
It was
wow.
like, wow, so talented. Like, people
wow.
don't have kind of the left and right brain. And next thing you know, she was good at art and history, and she was
wow.
able to paint portraits of students and kind
wow.
of narrate that or curate that with some sort
wow.
of messaging
wow.
about their future. And you
wow.
know, I remember one painting she did where she painted one of her classmates in sort of Civil War uniform
wow.
where
wow.
she was transcending time and talking about
wow.
you know, what it was like during the Lincoln era, you know, four score
oh,
years
my.
Ago. When
wow.
all men are created equal, all right? So it was, surreal. It's like,
oh my goodness,
she weaved together our sort of history and culture together through language and visual art. I mean, it's just incredible.
Wow.
And obviously, it was, you know, she definitely changed her mindset and her focus. And I curated sort of the best ecosystem around her so that she can be the best she can be.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. And that's, I guess that's an excellent example of the growth mindset. This is someone whose, I think, mother didn't really know her to be doing well in school, and and she certainly improved and is operating at, you know, at a higher end of her potential. And I'm sure there's more to go in that regard. And so that's amazing. You know, it reminds me of those child prodigies. In a sense, she's, you said that she applied early.
She applied early, I would say that for parents, or if you know a junior or a sophomore who is applying to college, I remember the days for this particular family. There were so many fights between this young lady and the mother. They were having some cold wars. They were having some bickering. There was some disagreement. I mean, it's a lot of drama. I mean, there were tears and there were, you know, disappointment. Like, she didn't want to do things and so forth. But that's all normal. That's all part of the college journey. There's natural frictions between the parent and the son or daughter. But as long as you have your vision set for the long term, I will say that, you know, if you, you know, provide the right ecosystem and provide sort of encouragement for the student to be their self and find their true voice, suddenly there is a sort of inflection point. I feel that the person just transforms totally. And you want to get to that point earlier than later.
Right.
And oftentimes it's, you know, through that curation of that experience, that ecosystem. And I'm not saying that I'm the only one doing this out there, but I tend to have a sort of an edge on this.
Okay.
On helping students to uncover their strength, and then we'll get there sooner, and then hopefully we'll get into a sort of a positive spiral.
Wow, that's amazing. And that's why it's called edgeprep.com, because you have the edge. I see what you did there. Great. And I guess that rebelliousness, you said it's natural and part of the process, excuse me. And I think, you know, it, obviously as young people, they're trying to find their way in the world, and maybe rebelling is one of their ways of experimenting and figuring out what, you know, what they want to do. Maybe it's their way of, I don't know how to describe it.
Well, let me tell you one thing. There's something called senioritis. Have you heard of this word called senioritis?
Yes. Seniors in high school getting lazy. Is that what it is?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's been 4 years in high school. Is there more work? Like, I just don't care and stuff. Or maybe just they lost interest. It happens all the time. And then you've got all the sort of the coming of age, puberty and hormones and all sorts of changes happening. So you're dealing with a very dynamic sort of changing situation. And sometimes you don't know who are the friends of this your child, right?
Right.
You know, you got to be very cognizant of who they hang out with. I know, once you get into the teenage years, you don't get involved. Yeah. Like, mom and dad, leave me alone. They want to do their own thing.
But
indirectly, you still want to be aware of who she or he hangs out with, because I'm a big believer of people are shaped by their environment. If you are hanging out with the wrong crowd, I'm not saying that's not possible to succeed, but you're likely to pick up some bad habits, and then consequently, you know, there's some surprising outcomes may happen.
Right. Definitely. That's so true. And I think as a parent, you know, that it makes me, you know, makes me nervous in the future, you know, when I have children, particularly if I have a daughter, you know, about the 10 years. I totally understand, you know, what parents are going through and why they're so concerned, particularly during these years, particularly with the the kind of kids. Obviously, there's a lot of negative influences out there, and you can only protect your kids so much, and so there is a lot of concern parents have, particularly about kids with the wrong crowd and the wrong influences. It's pretty nerve-wracking, but you help folks quite a lot and help families quite a lot. In this situation, it was an excellent case study, and so it's amazing. You're doing great work, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of many people. And thank you for sharing that story. And obviously, if you could explain something, is this a nonprofit or is this a for-profit venture when it comes to helping the individuals in education?
Great question. So I would say that education is a serious endeavor. To put the commitment, the quality, and the mission to drive outcomes, I will have to say there needs to be some sort of incentive in place for people to do a good job, to hire the best talent and resource and ecosystem.
Right.
Because everyone's time's busy. We just need to kind of make sure that people are dedicated for that high school student success. So with that said, for that part, it's for profit. However, there are some good sort of nonprofit initiatives we run as well. So, for example, recently we came across a group that's a Brooklyn-based, I think, a high school, and there's 100 of these students who are trying to kind of get a better understanding of SAT, and they're just kind of crunched on time and budget. We said that, as an organization, we're willing to do it even below cost to make it happen. So literally it was a budget of $1,200 for 100 students to teach 12 hours, which is a Hercules effort to make that happen. But we did said, even though it doesn't make any sense from a timing and the effort standpoint, but we're going to offer our sort of service. And so we would definitely look to help communities and trying to, try to leave no child behind so that everyone get, sort of some help and support as much as we can.
Right. That's great. So it's interesting how you do both, the kind of for-profit and non-profit. And the for-profit is because you want to attract the best people and reward them for their talents and efforts, which is totally understandable. And then you also work in the non-profit side of things in this situation, helping these folks in Brooklyn. Great. That's amazing. And I'm curious now, obviously, that would make you sort of like an entrepreneur. This is sort of like your own business, so to speak. And I suppose they say for entrepreneurs, one of the way you really make it or succeed is to rely, get to a point where you rely mostly on referrals or solely on referrals. And I'm curious, obviously you have to engage in networking in order to sort of facilitate this, because you don't get a lot of referrals, obviously, in the beginning, but you have to sort of network and build relationships. What advice would you give to people when it comes to networking, and this can work for people looking for a job too, I suppose.
Great question. So as you network, you want to keep one thing in mind is giving and provide value. I know it sounds very awkward because as people reach out to new acquaintances or encounters, their thinking is like, okay, what do you do? How can you help me? Or what can you do for me, et cetera. But there are too many people out there that's asking for the same request. Oh, can you help me do this? Can you pass my resume internally? Could you help me raise some capital or et cetera?
Right.
That makes you almost like a commodity because there are too many people out there asking for the same thing. Instead of asking, perhaps figure out the small way that's giving of something to someone, mm. of value.
Right.
I know it's counterintuitive
right.
because
right.
the person who needs help most likely is not in the position to give. However,
right.
there is the internet and there is a lot of information out on the web. If you do
right.
some homework and do some hypothesis where that individual trying to outreach and see how you can connect the dots and
mm.
subtly figure out between the lines where you can potentially add value. It could be very subtle. It could be
right,
something
right.
like, I don't know, let me say this. You know, a lot of folks you're reaching out there are maybe parents and their children
mm.
have a particular interest.
Right.
Let me
yeah.
say one time I remember a parent's child was very into pickles and they love
okay.
pickles in New York City. And
okay.
I said, well, that's very simple, right? Perhaps you want to suggest a pickle festival in Union Square where they gather and share that piece of information with the person you're helping. Say, hey,
okay.
I think that your son loves pickles, and here's a conference. Maybe he could get involved and kind of share his passion about pickles and know more folks in the pickle space. It should be fun. It's very sort of genuine, very authentic. That helps an individual because they were asking for help
about
their son for some pickle resources.
Right.
And,
right.
And sometimes I would say that also don't expect reciprocation immediately. I think it's
right.
hard to do, think long-term.
Right.
But imagine yourself taking a loan, like a mortgage from an institution.
Right.
What
right.
do? They check your banking history, credit, and so forth.
Mm.
So my analogy for getting referrals a lot of time is make sure you deposit enough credit with that individual
right.
so
right.
that eventually when people say, hey, what do? Is there anything I can help you with?
You're
then
right.
you can ask for something. And make
right.
sure be strategic, right? Don't ask for everything under the sun because then you get really people are busy. So you want to be
yeah.
thoughtful on what ask do you want to ask for that individual?
Right.
Deposit enough of credits, you know, provide value any way you can.
Right.
And that's how you potentially gain true referrals.
Wow. That's wonderful advice. And every time I give this question to folks, the answer always comes back with similar or close to the same, where it's all about the network you have to give and give without concern about getting anything back. And it'll just come back to you, sort of like a law, like the a karma. And it's that law of reciprocity, which is
yeah.
very powerful among human beings. And that's sort of the law you want to take advantage of when it comes to networking. And it's so amazing. You know, I you read these books like Go Giver by Bob Berg or Give and Take by
yep.
Adam Grant, and you've read them, and the influenced by Cialdini, Robert Cialdini talks about reciprocity, and it's a very powerful principle that's used by the most successful people in the world, giving and providing value first before you make any request for anything. And because if you make a request for anything, you're like everybody else. You're just a commodity. But this
exactly.
helps, like you said, you stand apart, which is amazing. And obviously when you do something for people, they in turn want to return the favor. And that's, again, that law of reciprocity. In Hinduism, they talk about karma. And so this is part of that, you know. And so thank you so much for that. So I'm curious now, there are people out there who want to be teachers, who want to do what you're doing, maybe perhaps not in when it comes to prep for college, but do want to teach folks. And what advice would you give to those folks who want to get involved in education?
Yeah. Being an educator, there are definitely different facets. I would say that the first part would be your sort of personality, right? Perhaps
mm-hmm.
a Myers-Briggs type educator test to figure out
right.
you, you know, have good empathy. You do care about, you know, enjoy working with people, and you seriously believe that, or you feel passionate about, you know, changing people's lives. You know,
right.
Those are kind of sort of almost like, you know your enjoyment and not work, that's a good signal. That's one signal to say that educator could be a good fit.
Right.
And then second, I would say, depending on what you want to do in education, you know, there's education management, there's, you know, being an instructor, or you can be in sort of coaching. So figure out which path you want to take. And once you have that set, you know, typically talking to a lot of people in these positions already, doing a lot of information interviews, and then from there, your role model basically have laid out a roadmap. Like, what did they do before they came to that position? What kind of education did they achieve when they got there? And then you could just kind of follow their footsteps. You know, take them as a role model, a mentor, and follow their footsteps. And then I would say the third would be take on smaller assignments, right? It does not have to be very formal. It could be some pro bono service where you're just helping people on something which you're feeling passionate about, and get a word out and test out whether your teaching works and students do enjoy it. And then hopefully once you've done all those, you have kind of figured out a plan for being an educator.
Wonderful. That's amazing. And so essentially the first part is, you know, whether you have the right personality for it. This is something you have to enjoy. And I think for many teachers, you know, they don't make a lot of money, you know, so they certainly do it because they enjoy it. And then the money's not really a factor. And so, again, having that passion for teaching, having empathy, so critical. And so many teachers, even though they don't make a lot of money, they're so personally fulfilled because they love teaching. You know, as they say, if you do what you enjoy, you never have to work a day in your life. And that's the truth. That's true for many teachers. And to learn from mentors is so important. I think you had talked about this earlier, being around people who succeeded at what you want to succeed at. And if they're close to an age, that helps a lot with the near peer method you mentioned. So if you can get a mentor that's close to your age, that's great, obviously. And to the third part you mentioned was focusing on smaller activities, perhaps being an intern. And I think being an unpaid intern, it helps because it you know, puts your foot in the door. People see you, they know you, it helps you to network and build relationships from there. So I think, you know, there's several examples of people who are interns at companies. They started off as interns, and then later on they ended up being the CEO or the founder of their own major company. So many stories like that. So, and they started small, so it's amazing. So no task is too small if you want to get your foot in the door and start, you know, and it helps you to learn the process from A to Z, you know, how things work and the hierarchy when you start from the bottom and get to the top. So thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone who's looking for a teacher or an educational program of some type? Now, obviously, if it's college prep, they can go to you, which I think is a great decision. but outside of going to you, what advice would you give to people who are looking for an educational program or a teacher?
Okay, you mean that... basically, they're looking for some sort of education for whatever profession or sort of personal development. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. It could be that, or I guess in your case, I guess to make it more specific, someone who's looking for someone to help them succeed in school so they can go to a top-shelf college, a great school for higher education.
Sure, yeah. You know, there's this industry is very broad. There's many players in the space. I think that oftentimes your school guidance counselor sometimes will give you some sort of resources. We want to find that service provider for whatever needs you may need. A second one would be really looking immediately at your, I guess, your near peer, again, from your same school. Like folks who just graduated a year ago, stay in touch with them, right? They just, you're senior, they just got accepted. Be buddies. Be, you know, ask them, how did you do? Like, let's grab coffee and see, you know, how did this year go?
Wow.
It was so amazing.
Wow.
Let me learn from you. And literally, I think that the proven recent path of success, and you kind of just listen, perhaps doesn't come from the student. Maybe you have, you know, have the mom and mom talk or dad to dad talk and just kind of, hey, congratulations to your son or daughter, but do you mind if I, you know, let's grab coffee or let's have a Zoom chat, and I really want to pick your brain on, you know, how did you become such a great dad or mom? Like, what was the secret? And those recent success stories will share a lot of insights on how people did it. So I think those are the immediate ones. But then online-wise, I would, you know, do some research around reviews and feedback on forums and see what has been, you know, gaining traction. And obviously, it does require some research and sort of trial and error to figure out which provider is the right fit for you.
Okay, definitely. Thank you so much for that. That's amazing advice. And, you know, it's so important for people to seek, you know, mentors, no matter what they want to, you know. I think it's so important. You know, Tony Robbins says success leaves clues. So when you reach out to the successful people, they can give you the clues. You get to pick their brains. And, you know, it's interesting. So many people are willing to be mentors. You'd be surprised how so many successful people want to teach what they know to others. And share their expertise with them.
There's a word that
says amazing.
If you ask it, you will receive, right? So the key is get outside your comfort zone and do ask for some help. It's okay to get help in this space.
Right, definitely. And there's so much help out there. If people just realize it, that they can, particularly now with technology and the internet, you can reach out to people more easily, social media and whatnot, or lunch club, or you can reach a lot of folks. I think people need to avail themselves of all the education that's out there through mentors they can find and mentors that are close to their age, so for that near peer again. And that's so critical for folks. And so you've mentioned a lot of important life lessons and success principles for folks. And in addition to what you've already mentioned, are there any other life lessons that you want to share with people?
Oh, that's a very broad question. I think there's so many lessons in life. I would say that one of the important lessons would be relationships. A lot of times people say that your network is your net worth.
Right.
There are so many relationships, kind of their close relationship, which you talk to on a day-to-day basis or even weekly, monthly. And then there are relationships where you kind of talk once in a blue moon. It's very important that you figure out a good way to stay in touch with a variety of relationship over the years. So for example, during this pandemic, I did take the initiative to look through my life journey from, I think, as early as high school, then undergrad, then my first internship, second internship.
Right.
My first job, second job,
and
then my B-school and so forth, and my alum circles, I have started to form these communities where getting people together after 2 decades and just kind of say, hey, how's it going? What are you up to? I digged up a photo from 20 years ago and shared some moments. We were doing some work together, or maybe just kind of hanging out
Wow.
and reconnecting. And, you know, the outcome of that is knowing how people have lived after this many years. They have all different paths. They have different families and different sort of lifestyles, and they made different decisions. But through those interactions, there's a lot of inspirations and a lot of ideas on, you know, what you should be kind of potentially doing, or maybe confirming that you're on the right path. So I find relationship, no matter if they're recent or maybe back to your childhood, they're invaluable.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, it's interesting. They studies have found the most successful people are the ones who have very deep networks, because, you know, with deep networks, they're able to find out about opportunities, and more opportunities are made available to them, as opposed to if they had a smaller closed network. And then people should get out there and meet more people and open up doors. You know, each person you know is a bridge to 250 other people, I found, on average, maybe and sometimes even more. And so it's, people do have to network. Networking is so key. There's a book I recommend to people called Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi, who talks about how successful people have big networks. And because through networking and his relationships, he was able to, I think, study at Harvard, I believe. Great book, very interesting author. And his story is very amazing. He came from humble roots, but he says networking was the key for him. And it's important for people to stay in touch and to stay in touch with folks that they knew from childhood, like you said, and reach out and revitalize those relationships. And it's so easy now with social media to do that, which is amazing. And so thank you so much for that. And I'm curious now, I'm sure you've probably read a lot of books as an educator and whatnot. And what are your top book recommendations for folks when it comes to personal development, or when it comes to, or for anything else, you know, for that matter? What are your top book recommendations?
Yeah, I would say the books are kind of evolving and changing in terms of titles.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
kind of helpful and useful. But I will share kind of a current snapshot of what I believe is kind of one of my favorite sort of reads, one of which is Never Split the Difference.
Okay.
Probably you've seen this guy,
yes.
Chris Voss,
yes.
the FBI
yes.
negotiator. And
right.
You know, that's a great read. You know, I think just some simple techniques of repeating other people's words, or remain silent at certain times, or, you know, these subtleties could transform the outcome of a potential negotiation and talk. So I highly recommend Never Split the Difference. That's one. Another book I would say was a good communication coach. It's called At the Margins. And At the Margins, it was a book just written during the pandemic. And this is all about the nuance of business communication to build credibility, persuasion, and differentiation.
Okay.
I think this is a great read. Again, you know, it talks about the basics of how do you, you know, think on your feet, body languages, eye contact, even how to run an effective meeting. So it's very useful and versatile read if you're interested in communication.
Definitely. Thank you so much for them. And I've read the book by Chris Voss. It's a huge bestseller on Amazon. And I love that book. And I actually went out and bought his online courses, which are amazing. And, you know, he talks about, you know, the book on negotiation is one of the best I've read. He talks about the importance of open-ended questions and whatnot. And he understands human nature at a at a level that's very few people do. So definitely, yeah, I love that book. And the other book I'm definitely going to check out and read. Thank you so much for that. And I'm curious, are you ever going to write a book yourself about your life or about education or personal development?
That's a great question. Again, one of my to-dos for sure to kind of write a book about education or personal development. I just would say that there are some other priorities I need to kind of accomplish milestones.
Sure.
But
okay.
As I gather more sort of anecdotes, I will definitely try to document them in a book and share with a broader audience.
Wow, that's amazing. Because I, you know, when you write that book, when that book is published, I'll be the first person online to buy it. So you have at least one customer, just so you know. And,
thank you, Luke.
Yes, yes. And the stories, I'm sure you have some amazing stories because you gave us that story about the woman who was rebellious and she went from being a rebel to like a genius. So that's but the genius knowledge was always there, you know, but she just had to fulfill it, you know, find it in her. And so I think you have many stories to tell. And obviously, as you continue to do what you do, you'll have more and more stories will come. And, you know, it reminds me, the story you mentioned of the rebellious woman, it reminds me of the movie The Wizard of Oz, where the characters were all missing something, but it turns out at the end of the movie, everything that they were looking for was already inside them already, you know. they already had it, if you have ever seen the movie. So it's sort of...
Yeah.
It reminds me that she always had that genius inside her, but you helped to bring it out. You know, particularly, obviously, it goes back to that growth mindset. You know, everyone has it in them to improve and be better. So amazing. And so I would love to read a book of stories of how you've helped folks, young people and whatnot. And I'm curious, would you ever start or create a podcast? I think you'd do great on education or any other theme.
Yes, that's definitely on the roadmap. We plan to have more sort of fireside chat and podcast around various topics of college journey. If you go to our actually website edgeprep.com, you can see a little short you know clip about what I talk on, you know, what we do. But yes, I definitely look to produce more content, video and audio, so that more folks could benefit from these experiences and insights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Excellent. And yeah, so when the podcast comes out, I'll definitely listen to it. So you'll have at least one listener in, for your audience. You have to start somewhere. So just so you know, and definitely keep me abreast of that. And, you know, I'd love to support you in that way. And the thing about podcasting, I think everyone should have a podcast. Podcasting is like the new blogging, so to speak. And it's with Anchor, it's free. So it doesn't cost anything, which is amazing. And they bring it to Google, Apple, and Spotify and some others. And the guy who actually said that was Seth Godin. He's a marketing guru. He's bald-headed, wears glasses. You may have heard of him, Seth Godin. He's written many books. He says that everyone should have a podcast, and podcasting is the new blogging. If he says it, it must be true. So, so definitely. And everyone has a book in them. That's what I truly believe. So, when those things come out, a podcast and a book, I'll be there to check it out. So thank you again. And so I just wanted to say, Will, you've been a great guest. Interview has blown away my expectations, and it was a lot of fun. I've learned a lot from you, and I'm sure the audience has as well. So, of course, it's almost like, you know, you were the teacher, I was the student. Something you're used to.
Look, you're being too humble. I think it's an honor to be part of the Deep Man Voice show. I really enjoy the dialogue here. It's all fun.
Yes.
and sort of sharing knowledge and learning from each other, and glad to be part of the community, and looking to really, you know, stay in touch. And
yes,
thank you for organizing this.
Thank you so much for coming on and being a guest. So again, I just want to thank the audience for listening as well. Can you go ahead and describe all the ways that people can reach out and get connected with you, so they can use, or if they know someone who could utilize your services, or if they want to put you center of influence in their network?
Sure. Absolutely. So the best way to reach me would be will@edgeprep.com. So again, my first name, Will, W-I-L-L, at edgeprep.com. Yeah, drop me a line. I'm just a message away. I'm looking forward to chat with you on any topic you think I can be of service.
Thank you so much for that. So again, that email is will@edgeprep.com, and it will be listed in the episode description box so people can see it and read it there. All right. And so thank you so much for that, Will. And again, thank you for being a guest, and I want to thank the audience for listening. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode. All right, everyone, take care and have a good day. Bye-bye. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. So we can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that'd be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.